Isaac walked up the mountain, his father by his side, never realizing he would be the sacrifice. And when Abraham raised up his hand to take his child's life, in his heart he must have wondered why. Sometimes God will take us to unexpected places, but in every situation we will find God will provide beyond what we've imagined, so much more than we could fathom. He will supply, God will provide, when we trust in Him completely and take each step believing like a child. God will provide. On another hill called Calvary, a father's only son was offered as a priceless gift of faithfulness and love. Amidst the cries of all mankind, God reached down from above, and He covered us with Christ's atoning blood. No matter what your need is, God will always lead us. I know His grace will always be enough. God will provide beyond what we've imagined, so much more than we could fathom. He will supply, God will provide, when we trust in Him completely and take each step believing like a child. God has provided beyond what I've imagined, so much more than I could fathom. He has supplied, God will provide, when we trust in Him completely and take each step believing like a child. God will provide. I know my God will provide.
All right, let's stand for the reading of the scripture, if you are able this morning. Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8. We'll read verses 5 to 13. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 5 to 13. I hope you'll be with us Tuesday night. Of course, we don't have Thursday night Bible study because of Thanksgiving. We're going to have it on Tuesday night, but we're going to specifically just do some things with Thanksgiving a little bit different. And so it's good on Thanksgiving in this time of year to actually be thankful, to think about things to be thankful for, and enjoy all the stuff, you know, the family and all that, and the turkey and watching the Cowboys lose. Whatever you do is your tradition, okay? Actually, the Cowboys aren't losing, so that's probably not going to happen. But but of course, it's about being thankful. That's the origins of it, back when our country used to believe in God and used to think that it's a good thing as a country to thank God. Now we don't believe like that, but guess what? We're Christians. We still can. Yeah. So if you can, be here 7 o'clock, and we'll have a great time together. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 5 says this, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion beseeching Him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, And another, come and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to him that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east to the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. And let's pray. Father, I pray you bless our brief time together. Be with us. Encourage us in this area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. For the next couple weeks, we're going to look at three qualities that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians. I'll read the verse to you. 1 Corinthians 13:13, the great love chapter at the end, it says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Of course, this is the great love chapter, but at the end, he mentions the importance of these three qualities. Really, they're the big three: faith, hope, and charity. These make Christianity unique. And he says about these three, faith and hope and charity, that they abide. In other words, they last. They are not fly by night. They are not just some temporary thing. These are character qualities that we should have that should abide. They remain. They should continue. They should survive and endure and stand the test of time. They are a big deal. So over the next couple weeks, we're going to take a look at each one of these qualities. Today, we're going to look at faith. Our faith started when we first trusted Jesus Christ. It started our life of our Christian life, our Christian journey. Hope secures our future through Christ. Love defines our present time with Christ. But faith was that past starting point, and it's a big deal. The Bible tells us about faith that it's how we became a Christian. When we look in Romans chapter 10, it starts by our believing in Jesus Christ with all of our heart. That is our faith. But once we're saved, it's not just how we became Christians. It's how we're supposed to live our life after salvation. There's a phrase that's in Romans chapter 1:17. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that phrase is repeated three other times in the Bible, four times it is mentioned. After we're saved, we're supposed to live by faith. Not only that, it's how we please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. You know, almost anybody that knows Christ or has been a Christian any amount of time would say, I just want to please the Lord in my life. Well, my question is, if you're trying to please God, do you live a life of faith? Because if you don't, then you're not pleasing him. Because the Bible makes it very plain, without faith, we cannot please him. And it also tells us it's how we avoid sin. Romans chapter 14, verse 23, it says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We are to live a certain way, and we cannot do that without faith. And so as we're going to look at faith, I want us to specifically look at this story. In this story, we are going to see a man that amazed Jesus Christ. Why? Christ says, because of his great faith. Only twice is it mentioned in the Gospels that Jesus marveled at something, that something amazed him. Once it was because of the unbelief. It was because of a story of the Jews' unbelief. This one is the story of a Gentile man who wasn't even part of the Jewish culture, who the Jews were misunderstood, that Jesus only came for them. And so here's a Gentile of all people, and he had a great faith that amazed Jesus Christ. In the story before, which we looked at a few weeks ago, Jesus had just healed a leper, and now he goes to Capernaum, and he is met by a centurion. A centurion was a Roman, not soldier, but really a Roman officer that oversaw a 100 soldiers. So he was a little bit higher up. But he being that kind of man, he was obviously a man of great character and a man of sense of duty. He comes to Christ, but not on behalf of himself. He comes to Christ on behalf of a servant that he has. He was a man of compassion. By the way, it would have been unusual for a Gentile to come to Christ. The Jews would not really would have accepted that. And by the way, he was not popular. Number one, being a Roman soldier would not have made him popular because the Jews wanted to overthrow the Roman government. But he put all of this aside to get to Jesus Christ on behalf of his servant. Jesus, he comes to Jesus and he asks him, he tells the story of his servant being sick. And Jesus just says, I'll come to your house and I'll heal him. Point blank statement. That should have settled it right there. Great, I came to Christ. I told him about my servant. Christ says, I'm going to your house. I'm going to go heal this guy. But the step that he takes afterwards takes it from just faith to come to Christ to ask for help to what Jesus says, I have not seen so great a faith. He tells Jesus, you don't even need to come to my house. Don't waste your time. All you have to do is say the word, and I know my servant will be healed. You don't even have to come to my house. We don't have to go through the whole thing. Just say the word. And Jesus heard that and said, first he said he was amazed, and then he said, this man has a great, great, great faith. What about us? He wants us to have great faith also. So as I look at the story, I see several qualities that reserve this title of great faith for this man. It can also draw it to us. How can we have great faith? Let me give you several thoughts here and we'll be done. If you want to have great faith, it's reserved for those who draw close. This man came to Christ. He wasn't waiting for Christ to come to him. He didn't think, you know, I can't go because this is a Jewish crowd. He's the Jewish leader or Messiah or religious man. And I'm a Roman. I'm kind of an outcast. I'm not really looked favorably upon. But he had something he wanted so bad, he was willing to come to where Jesus Christ was. He was willing to draw close to him. He had to be where Jesus was. Do you know faith is not something that you can gain from a distance? It seems that as Christians, here's the kind of distance, here's how close we want to be to Jesus. We kind of just want to keep him a little bit farther away. We want just a little bit of Jesus. We really don't want to draw close to him. But if we do not draw close to him, we will never have great faith. Do you have a close friend today? If you do, you should count yourself lucky. If they are close, then you trust them. More than someone that you just know casually. Trust comes when you really draw close with somebody. The same is true of our faith in Jesus Christ. The closer we get to him, the more we will know of him, and the more we will trust him, and the greater our faith would be. I have a great friend. It was Pastor Esposito. Pastor Esposito and I, we met. I was 9 years old. He was 11. They moved into our apartment complex upstairs. We did not know the Lord, and we got in a lot of trouble together, mostly his fault. Okay, I just wanted to be a good kid. And he led me down a bad path. I followed. But you know, I trust Pastor Esposito. One of the reasons and God led me here in the early days when Pastor was going to start the church, and God led me to come with him. But one of the reasons I came is because I trusted him. I knew him very well. I knew who he was. I knew the kind of man he was. I knew the heart he had for Christ. And so because I was close to him, I trusted him enough with God's leading to come help in the church. The point is, you only have trust in those that you are close to. If you are not close to God, if you are not close to Christ, then you will not have great faith. Here's a good thing. If God wants us to draw close to him, but here's the good thing. As we seek to draw close to him, he draws close to us. Amen. We've mentioned it many times. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. I believe that's James 4:6. Anytime we take a step towards Jesus Christ and we want to draw close to him, he is taking a step towards us. You ever like somebody and they didn't like you? Maybe somebody of the opposite gender. When I was in junior high, there was this girl that liked me. Of course, there was a lot of girls that liked me, really. But I'm thinking of this one particular. My first year, I don't know why you're laughing. That hurts. My first year of junior high, it was seventh grade at that time. And there was this Filipino girl, Cynthia. I forget her last name. But she liked me, and I'm like, whatever. I didn't have any interest in her because I had like 200 others. I'm like, really? I lie occasionally. I did not like her. I don't know how, but I remember one Saturday morning, her and a friend came to my house. I don't even know how she figured out where I lived. And she knocked on my door, and I went downstairs. I talked to him for a few minutes. I'm like, see you later. You know what happens sometimes as you get older and you start to get, say, into high school? Well, we got into high school, and I noticed her. And I'm like, the years had been good to her. And I'm like, that was only 3 or 4 years ago. Why wouldn't she still like me? She didn't. She had a long memory. She remembered how I treated her in seventh grade. And it was done. Now, that was the only girl that ever happened to in my life, so it was not a big deal. I still had 50 others. But the point is, I was trying to draw close to her, and she wasn't having it. You know, thank God, God's not like that. No one can ever say this. You can say it, but it's not true. No one can ever say this. I'm trying to get close to God, but he just doesn't want to be close to me. You can say that, but that's not true. If you are sincerely doing right and trying to draw nigh to God, he wants to draw nigh to you. You want to have great faith? You need to get closer to Jesus Christ, or you'll never have great faith. Faith. He doesn't reject us. Who else has great faith? Number two, those who have great need. Why did he come? He said, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. What was it that drove him to Christ? His care and concern for his servant. It was obviously not just some kind of slave relationship. That's not what it was. This was someone who worked for him that he had a great care for, and he obviously loved them. And that bothered him that they were sick. That bothered them that they had this crippling disease. And he said, I've got to get help. And that drove him to go to Jesus Christ. The point is, if we don't realize that we are needy people in this world, we'll try to get through life on our own. By the way, there's a lot of people that do that. And there will come a time when you need God. And let me say two things. Number one, some people come to God only when there's a problem in their life. That's not best, but if that's why you came, come on. That's okay. But let me say this. Don't wait until that happens. Just because everything is going well in your life, don't let that keep you from getting close to God. Look, we all really have needs in our life. Do you realize at any time the carpet can be pulled out from under you? Well, you know, right now my finances are good. Well, if you're living apart from God, that might change. Well, right now my health is fine. Well, what's going to happen if your health goes sideways? I have a good job, and the family's great. The wife actually looks at me with a smile on her face. Give it a week. Well, I just went to the couples retreat. Give it 2 weeks, okay? Sometimes she's going to look at you, and there's no smile. That's time to go fishing, by the way. We need him, we just don't realize it. But it's okay. We need to realize that even when things are going well, we all really need him each and every day. Don't be like the lepers. Remember there was 10 lepers? He healed all of them. And they all turned back and said, thank you. 9 of them took off. 1 came back to worship the one who healed them. Let's not be like that. Let's not be like the 9. Let's be the 1 out of the 10 that is thankful. But do we have great need? If you do have a great need, you're a candidate. If you don't have a great need, you're not looking very closely at your life, but you will have a great need someday. Who else has great faith? I like this. Those who don't demand. Here's what he said to Jesus Christ. Verse 6, we read half of it. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. That's it. All he did was come and lay the situation out in front of God. There were no demands. There were no, you had better do this. Now, there is nothing wrong with asking God to do something. I'm not saying that. There would have been nothing wrong with him saying, Lord, could you please come and heal him? There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, I find sometimes in our pampered society, in our pampered Christianity, we feel like we can demand things from God. You can demand nothing from God. You may ask him to do something, but whether or not he acts is up to him, and you better give him that license in your life. All you do is let him make the decision. Let God figure out the details. You know, sometimes we pray for something, but we're a little bit specific. We're almost selfish. Remember, as newlyweds, we got married, and we had someone had given us a car. We had a Subaru, and they gave us that on our honeymoon, and that was a really nice car. It lasted 4 days. Didn't even get through the honeymoon. And so here we are in the honeymoon, and we were down here, and my dad was a mechanic, and it was not acting right. I'm like, can you look at the car? He said, I don't know what he said like this, but I think he said, go find a white sheet. We need to cover it and pray for it. It's gone. So my sister had an old Mustang. She gave us the Mustang. Exactly. I didn't know that at the time. The Lord had not enlightened me about that. It was a Ford. That lasted us until the trip home. And we were in the middle of Utah in the summer, and that car, I was going to say it went to be with the Lord, but it went to the other place. It was red, so it knew where it was going. That car died. We got back to Chicago. We didn't have a car. Someone else gave us a car. I should have learned a lesson. When someone gives you a car, I don't even know what kind of car it was. I don't remember. It was blue. All I remember about this car was blue. And we didn't drive it very often. I didn't trust it. So my wife was driving it one day, and I came home from work, and she wasn't there, and I knew the route she took, and there she was. She got in an accident, and she was over the side of the road with Mr. Police Officer. So, you know, I'm the newlywed husband, so I go over there, you know, hey, what's going on? And the police officer was not happy. We were living in Indiana. He goes, come here. He says, who are you? I said, I'm her husband. He goes, I have a question for you. He goes, this car has Maine plates from the state of Maine. It has an Indiana registration, and your wife has a Washington driver's license. Because can you explain that? I'm like, no. So after 2 weeks, she got out. That car was junk, wasn't it? I don't even remember. It was so bad, I don't know. It had to be a Ford. So anyhow, we started praying for a car. And you know what? God answered that prayer. He gave us a Chevy. Just that name makes my heart happy. Chevy, the second word will not. Chevette. It wasn't junk, brother, but it was close. The car drove well. It just that it didn't have a floorboard. It was a piece of wood, and when it rained, my legs got wet. But it was a good car. We had it for like 3 or 4 years. Now, look, that was a good car other than the fact that when it rained, you got wet. But I prayed for a car. Now, God gave me a Chevy Chevette. If you don't know what it is, check it online, and then you can laugh and have a good time with it. You know, I would have prayed for a Porsche or something. Just, Lord, give us a car. And he gave us a car. Now, what would I have preferred? Something better. But you know what? No, not a Ford. We already went through that. Just listen. But we're so demanding sometimes with God, it has to be this. That's not faith. By the way, don't listen to these faith peddlers that say you can make God do what you want him to do. You can demand God, word of faith. That's garbage. We don't come to God like that. We come to God and say, God, here's my need. And we lay it out for him and let him choose how he handles it. That's faith. See, because if we trust God enough to come to him in the first place, we ought to trust him enough to be able to do what he feels is best after we give him the situation. Let's not demand. Who else has great faith? Those who have great humility. Great humility. Verse 7, he lays out the situation, he doesn't demand. And Jesus answers right away, I will come and heal him. Praise God. Look what he says. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. That is humility. He says, I don't even deserve for you to come to my house. Wow. Lord, you ought to do this for me because I deserve it. Don't ever, ever say that. You ever pray? Here's a prayer you do not pray. Lord, give me what I deserve. You better start smelling brimstone. Don't ask. You know what? I do not want God to give me what I deserve. I want God to give me what I don't deserve. Man, I'm like, Lord, I deserve nothing, okay? Can you just, whatever you give is my favorite word, gravy. Are you feeling it? Thursday, mashed potatoes and gravy. Let's pray. I'm hungry. Humility. By the way, you know, it's okay because God's gracious. God always gives us more than we deserve. God's merciful. He always withholds from that really that which we do deserve. But we have to have that humility. When we come to God, let's come humble. James says, but 4:6 says, he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know what resist means? Get away. Get away. It's like someone trying to attack you. What would you do? You resist them. Someone's trying to get arrested and they fight. What do they call it? Resisting arrest. You're fighting. You know what God says? I'm going to resist you if you come proud. Because in the scheme of things, we have no right to come before God like that. And I'll be honest with you. There's times I've prayed, and I've prayed a little like, no, Lord, what are you doing? Like I know better. What are you doing? Why are you doing? I'm trying to do everything. Why is this going on? And I'm so thankful God doesn't say, I could just zap you and you'd be done. Okay? And you deserve that. No, let's come humbly before him. This man was very humble and says, I don't deserve. Listen, anything God gives us, we don't deserve. And if we have that kind of attitude, then anything he gives us, we'll be thankful about. We'll be appreciative of. We'll have a great thanksgiving. Who else has great faith? Those who trust Scripture. In verse 8, he says, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. And then he says this, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You know what he said? Just let me hear the word. All you got to do is say it. Because I know what you say is true. I know what you say will come to pass. Just say the word. You want to have the right kind of faith? You had better get in this book. You had better know what this book says. Because if we don't know what this book says, we're going to come to God on our own terms. We're going to come to God thinking that we know what's best. We're going to come to God thinking, you give me what I want. But when we stay in this book, we know exactly what God wants. We know exactly how God responds, and we'll come to him the proper way. Scripture. By the way, that's where the power is at. Faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17 says, and hearing by the word of God. You know why you might have weak faith? You don't know anything of God's word. You're not faithful to church, so you're not hearing it enough. You're not reading it. That's why we always encourage you, read through your Bible each and every year. And you say, well, I do it every year. You might want to step up to two times a year. Whatever it is, that strengthens your faith. Look, you cannot read the stories of Scripture. You cannot be learning the principle of Scriptures and not have that strengthen your faith. By the way, God is no, you see, all the things that God can do, that shows you something. He has the power to work in your life. Faith. We can't trust anything else. By the way, don't confuse your feelings with faith. Well, I just have this feeling it's going to happen. That's faith. No, that's your feelings. Get a nap. Don't eat hamburgers before you go to bed. Okay? That's your feelings. Your feelings are not faith. Well, you know, I think God spoke to me. They always do the funny eye thing. God spoke to me. I'm like, he spoke to me too. He said, run. Now, sometimes God leads us. We'll feel an impression and something will happen. It's like, wow, I think God did that. But listen, whenever someone says, God spoke to me, here's the next question. What verse was that? No. I was in my room and I heard a voice in my head. You know, I've met a lot of people that had voices in their head. Okay? Sometimes they're drug addicts. You get in that demonic garbage. God speaks to his wife. No, I want to hear God's voice. Then read the Bible out loud. That's the only time you're going to get the true word of God. But let's have confidence in his word, not in our feelings, not what we think. Here's the equation. If you have no word, you have no faith. If you have a little bit of God's word, you have a little bit of faith. If you have much of God's word, you'll have much of God's faith. What else will help us to have great faith? You got to understand authority. Look what this man says. Here's why he could trust God's word. He said in verse 9, for I am a man under authority. Now, he was also over people, but he was also under authority. He understood authority structure. Having soldiers under me, I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. He says, I understand authority. So when I'm under authority and I have people under me, all I have to say is what I want them to do, and because I'm in the authority, they're going to do it. Especially Roman military, they're going to do it. Jesus said, when Jesus heard, he marveled and said to him that followed, verily I say, I have not found so great faith. You know what he said? Jesus, I don't need anything from you. All I need to know is because I understand authority that if you say it's going to get done because you have the authority, it's going to be done. What does that mean? Those who have great faith understand God is in control. He is in control. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. You've ever heard that one? Right. What is that saying? I don't know what's going to happen, but I know the one who controls what happens, and I know he's under control, so I'm going to trust in him. Do you understand God's authority? Too many Christians say God's under control, but his control is nothing more than a bumper sticker on the back of their car. It's a little pithy statement that they've heard. But when it comes to how they live their life, when it comes to what they're doing in their life, God has no control. Let God have control. Understand that God is in control, and then let him have control of your life. If you want to have great faith. What is the result of all that? Those who have great faith are those who receive. In verse 13, Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Those who have great faith, they experience God's working in their life. How's your faith today? Faith's not a feeling. Faith is a core belief that's based on our relationship with God. The three great things he mentions, faith, hope, and love, starts with faith. I think we misunderstand it. Let's all stand this morning, please.